Did you get? I know you got a chance.
I saw the last round of the PGA Championship. Was following it throughout the entire weekend for the most part, seeing where the scores were and whatnot. And good for Jason Day. He finally won one. You know, he's kind of getting be able to take his name off that list of best players without a major win.
Right,
so
right.
Good for him. You know, to be able to get out there. And obviously another great showing by Jordan Spieth coming in second and just having a fantastic golf game right now. He's pretty much on top. Well, granted, he did get the number one spot, get his number one world ranked number one golfer right now. Took over Rory McIlroy's spot. So for those of you who are mad that Tiger's not playing well, you have three other people to kind of look at.
Yeah, I think the whole, you know, this attention about like when is Tiger going to pull it together. I mean, when are we going to stop talking about that?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, until he's finally retired. I mean, it would be nice to see him make a little turnaround and maybe give Jack a run at the all-time for, you know, 18 major wins. But, I mean, I think the attention really needs to be put on Spieth right now. I mean, like you just said, the second place finish. I mean, has anybody had as good a year as this kid has since, like, since Tiger Woods himself maybe 10 years ago?
Right.
When he won, you know, 3 out of 4. You know,
exactly.
I mean, Spieth won, you know, what, 2 out of 4 and came very close this weekend.
Second and a fourth in the other ones.
Yeah. I mean, so it's not like he's like 20th or like missing the cut. I mean, he's in contention every single weekend. You know, it's
and
just,
he's only 21, right?
Yeah, he's basically a kid. You know what I mean? He barely is of drinking age.
Right.
So, so hopefully he, you know, maybe he can put together a Tiger-like career. You know, it might not be as socially significant, you know, because obviously Tiger is, you know, probably the most famous African-American golfer of all time. You know,
or one of the only ones.
That's the thing. I mean, he really kind of was breaking barriers.
Absolutely.
I mean, even I think Augusta only started allowing blacks to play like maybe 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
If that, and I still think they don't even allow women right now.
I think they like recently let their first two women members in.
Did they?
Yeah, it was like a few years ago, but yeah, they're still very lax in the in the women department there.
So, you know, golf is obviously kind of, you know, it's more for the wealthy. You know what I mean? Because it's expensive. You know, even if you play on public courses, it's expensive. I mean, country clubs obviously are expensive.
That's why I don't play. I don't have the money for clubs.
I mean, it's a pricey. You know, it's a pricey. You know, hobby to have. But you know, it's fun. It's good to see Rory back out on the course.
Yep.
I thought after that soccer injury, you know, that he was going to be out for months.
Right.
So it was interesting to see him make that comeback. You know, with those two guys going at it, we could have, you know, some really good matchups for the next, you know, 10 to 15 years.
I actually reached out to two of my buddies who are golf enthusiasts, and I, going off that, asked them what they felt was the future of golf and if golf was in good hands. So let's hear from them right now. This is Jason Hackney, my buddy Matt Fontanilla.
From a golfer's perspective, it's definitely a young man's game right now. Most of the dominant golfers are no older than, I want to say, than 27. I think DJ is 27. Jason Day is 25, 26. Jordan's 22. Ricky's 22, 23. And all these guys, we're always going to see these guys on Sunday. And actually, speaking of Sunday, when Jason Day and Jordan Spieth played this Sunday, the last major they played together on the Sunday group, and they did super well for each other. And so when you have that comfort of these guys playing together and these guys playing at such a high level, we're going to see these guys in the near future just, you know, just take their game to the next level because, you know, they want to play better than each other. And it's also great because we also see them talking with each other on the fairway, which is, like, super cool. I mean, I think that's pretty cool coming from
for sure. No, there's definitely been a change in the guard in terms of rivalries. I mean, you know, I don't know if anyone's going to be as dominant as Tiger was just because that was unprecedented what he did in the 2000s.
Right.
And Phil really, I mean, while he was a rival, I still don't think he was anywhere close to what Tiger could do. And Tiger was just that kind of ruthless, cutthroat competitor where, you know, people didn't like playing with him, where these new guys are, you know, probably not as good, but close in terms of talent. They don't have
pretty close.
Yeah, they don't have that, you know, killer instinct, kind of, at least they're not showing that on the course that Tiger did, where he just intimidated everyone he played with. So you're going to see, you know, people battling with those four, Rory, Jason, Day, and Ricky, and Spieth for the next you know, 10 years at least. So golf's definitely in a still a good spot. One of them are going to need to, you know, Jordan keeps this up for the next couple of years and starts winning majors on, you know, every year. He's definitely going to help take the sport just because he's a likable guy. He's good with the media and people like to watch him. So it's, you know, it's definitely changing the guard.
Yeah. So I thought that, was pretty much what you were saying there, Noobs, that golf moving forward, we do have these younger guys and we're not going to see another Tiger. And I think it is time to move on from, you know, the idea of having to bring him up every time. Well, you know, is golf going to be able to survive without Tiger? Is Tiger coming back? So on and so forth. And I think, you know, I think golf is in a healthy place.
Yeah.
I don't
definitely. Yeah. I mean, the fact that they've really caught on to the younger generation, especially males like 18 to probably 27, some around there. Guys are really flocking to that. Mainly one, I know a lot of people who are actually trying to get into that, the golfing, because there's a lot of money to be made in it.
Right.
And I don't know, it's kind of interesting to see how many people are really just actual fans of the game and actually are really paying attention every single tournament, whether it's a master or not. And I have countless and a good number of friends of mine, like I said, all, you know, in their mid-20s, late early 20s, who actually are really big fans of the game. So the fact that golf has them already, it's going to show that's going to keep going for a while.
Yeah, and I think your friends bring up a good point about the youth movement in golf, where it's like, you know, it's kind of becoming hip, actually. You know
right.
what I mean? It's not just an old white man's game anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? And Tiger did, you know, so much for that. But you have all these younger guys like Bubba Watson and, like you said, Ricky Fowler and Jason Day. And they're out there having Hunter Mahan. They're having fun.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they're playing, you know, they're wearing stylish clothes. And
some more than others, like Dustin Johnson and whatnot.
Yeah. You know, and honestly, I mean, like, it's kind of an attractive thing because, I mean, I don't want to get too off topic here, but a lot of these guys have really attractive wives and make a lot of money. And it's like,
back to Dustin Johnson.
Yeah. Exactly.
Gretzky. There we go.
Gretzky's daughter. I mean, it's like, that's, you know, who would turn that down? So, anyway, you know, it's like, it's good. It's good for golf. And, you know, as far as will it survive, it will. It always has. It's been around for hundreds of years. I think it's probably the oldest game out there besides maybe lacrosse, you know. And so yeah, it's going to be fine. As far as are we going to see another Tiger, like I said earlier, socially, no. But as far as like who can maybe even make that run at Jack, I mean, who knows? Maybe Spieth is so young.
Right.
If he starts winning, you know, two a year or even one a year and plays, you know, into his early 40s, plays well, you know, like Phil's lasted well into his 40s.
Right.
You
know,
I mean, Jack won, I think, a couple majors in his 40s.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can kind of have that resurgence. I mean, so let's not count out. Maybe Spieth is going to be the guy. And I know it's a little early to start talking about that, but
yeah, he's young, though. I mean, he's young enough to do it. We'll see. I mean,
however, I would say if Tiger did win, that would be like the biggest thing in sports.
No,
like,
if he won a major.
Yeah, if he won a major, just everyone would stop what they're doing and just say, Tiger, like, I have to like watch it or something.
Well, it would be an interesting story if he does get his game together because, you know, he is only four away from tying that all-time mark.
Right.
And so, like, if he has a resurgence, if he gets, like, another, like, a 2 or 3 year run where he can put a couple together, I mean, he's obviously always been really good at Augusta.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's got courses that he plays really well at, tends to do pretty good at the British Open and St. Andrews, obviously not this year. But, yeah, so, you know, and the thing about golf, too, though, is it's such a unique game because it's not really player versus player.
Right.
And, yeah, you're in, like, twosomes or threesomes or even foursomes, depending on the tournament. But, like, you know, you're playing against the course. You're not playing against each other. And, yeah, some guys might not be as fun to play with, but you just got to ignore that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like these Federer, you know, Nadal matchups.
Right.
Where it's, like, really mano-a-mano, you know what I mean? Or, you know, Martina Navratilova and Chrissy Evert, you know, take your pick. You know, so golf is interesting like that. You can still have these rivalries without, like, the top guys being necessarily in it every weekend, you know. So going forward, it's going to be really interesting for
Agreed.
Sure.
All right, let's push forward here. A little update on the Giants. They are currently tied in the bottom of the second with the Cardinals, first-place Cardinals. The Giants had a heck of a weekend. They swept the Nationals. Mad bum. Oh, before I move on, Jake sent me a text and said, make sure everyone knows I got a little misty when Spieth won at 18 and Mad Bum is Lord.
Yes, I got the same email.
Okay, so shout out to Jake living it up in Mexico. But yeah, Mad Bum, his last two games, he pitched a complete game shutouts. 14 Ks yesterday. I believe he hit a double, and I know he hit the home run because that was the first thing I heard when we got in the car on the way back down from McLeod. So we'll see. Still trailing the Dodgers by 2.5. I know you're happy about that, Derek.
Definitely. I'll take that. Yeah, that's nice. I actually went down to L.A. and pretty much had a Dodger-filled week, actually.
Nice.
I hadn't had a chance to see any games there this season. That's too long for me. Right. So I had to do 4 days in a row there. I needed to see my boys in blue play in actual. And they went 2-for-2 when I was down there. But I'm gonna say I'm nervous right now. The only thing I have going for us right now is the fact that you guys are playing St. Louis, and you got Pittsburgh coming up as well soon.
Yeah, it's a tough stretch.
It's a brutal
stretch, especially after the 4-game sweep in Wrigley.
That was tough. Love that. Yeah, because we got ourselves swept by Pittsburgh. So.
Yeah, and the thing about the East and the West, as far as the National League goes, it's like you got to win the division, or you're not getting in. As far as it looks right now,
yeah,
Chicago and Pittsburgh kind of have those wild cards.
Yeah,
maybe not locked up necessarily, but it's going to be tough if you don't win your division.
Look at the Washington right now. Everyone picked them. Everyone's like, oh, they're going to win the series. They got the best team out there, and look at them right now. Probably not even out of the playoff race.
I don't think they're making the playoffs. I don't think,
especially with the way New York is playing. Oh,
no way. I mean,
that pitching rotation for the Mets is just nasty.
It's dirty. Yeah.
I think we need to start acknowledging that as maybe the best rotation in baseball, right?
It may be.
I mean, just top to bottom.
One through five, absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting. Yeah. Also, the Toronto Blue Jays.
Wow.
On fire.
Seriously.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're leading the majors in run score, doubles, slugging percentage, total bases, and RBIs. And their offense was already on fire before they sold the farm, essentially.
Right. Got too low. In there, so
and a frontline starter. Yeah, David Price, they and the Mets were definitely the big winners at the trade deadline.
Absolutely, yeah. This was a fun trade deadline.
It was,
yeah,
it was.
It's usually the last few years have been a bit of a letdown, and this was actually entertaining.
It's finally because we're finally kind of seeing the real big change of the guards right now in terms of teams that have never had a shot before are now in it, like Kansas City, a team that was for how long not in the playoffs. Now they're everyone's having them to pick the championship right now. They're going to win the World Series. I mean, they have a great squad right now. They did themselves even better by picking up Cueto, Zorbris, and they even picked up Chamberlain and another veteran player as well for their to boost up that already stacked team right now.
Totally. And you're going to see a little bit more movement just because there's, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure people know out there that there's the trade deadline, you know, on July 31st. But then there's the waiver trades where, like, a guy has to, you know, clear waivers. He can't be claimed by someone. So you're going to see some, like, you know, smaller name players, but guys that definitely can come in and help, you know, during the pennant push.
I think one of those names Chase Utley is one of those names right now that's being tossed around as being a lot of teams looking for a second baseman right now.
Totally. Well, and those moves, like, those sometimes are the sneaky good moves. I mean, the Giants going out and getting Pat Burrell in 2010 off waivers. He was huge in the playoffs and for the playoff push, for that matter, because they got in on the last day. So he was huge for that entire run.
If I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure the Dodgers acquired Manny Ramirez on the waiver before the on waivers
yeah,
before, and,
right.
and we had a great little run with him before he, you know, became Manny.
When he left Boston, though, I mean, he was motivated and had a great rest of that season for LA. I think pretty much kind of carried them to the playoffs.
Oh, definitely. And the year after that, too. Yeah, we just kind of sparked our team, definitely.
Totally.
So if you get a right move like that, you can definitely push your team over the edge, and teams are seeing that and making moves.
Yeah, I mean, this is really the time of year where this playoff race really begins to unfold. And I really do think it's going to come down to, in the NL West at least, between the Dodgers and Giants, obviously, it's going to come down to, can the Giants consistently hit? And can the Dodgers bullpen be passable?
Find someone who can close out a game. Yeah, I mean, we have our closer set up in Kenley Jansen there. He's a solid closer. I'll take him. But getting to Kenley, if we don't have a starter that can get you to the eighth at least, you're going to be in trouble.
I mean, besides Greinke, you know, and Kershaw, obviously, it's like there's such a drop-off after those two that it's like, you know, if they can get to the playoffs, you know what I mean, and get a third starter that can do something, you know, then I think they'll be okay. I think Brandon McCarthy, that injury really early in the season kind of hurt them.
We also lost
pitching pretty well.
He was also getting having a, he had a great record before he went on the DL.
Yeah.
We also lost Ryu before the season really even started. That was a really big loss.
I think with their lineup, though, I feel like they're a better hitting lineup. Obviously, guys like Jock Peterson are in a huge slump. Mm-hmm. But just, you know, with Puig, and once they get Howie Kendrick back from the DL, Justin Turner just came back from the DL.
He's been lighting it
that,
up since
that
he came
is
back.
A yeah. stacked team. You know, not that the Giants aren't capable of putting up runs, but there's times where the Giants, it's like lights out. They just like mm-hmm. can't hit.
Right.
You know, and so I think, you know, if LA gets in there, they're going to be dangerous just because that playoff rotation will be shortened.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard, even if it's, you know, Matt Harvey or Jacob DeGrom going against him. It's still going to be pretty tough. So I think we're in for a really good playoffs, though.
Definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
St. Louis has got the best record in the majors, and nobody's even talking about the Cardinals.
Right.
I mean, I was looking at them. They have 4 of their 5 starters right now have an ERA under 3.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's ridiculous
right now. Jaime Garcia is sneaky good.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
Michael Wacha definitely having a career year. John Lackey really reviving himself there in St. Louis and having a great run. And then that young guy, they have Carlos Martinez, right? And he's looking like a real stud out there. Yeah. So
the Cardinals are just in this position or around this position year after year after year.
Nothing but respect for the team, as much as I hate them because we can't beat them, Dodgers, right. But I have to give them respect because they do the game right and they do it so consistently.
No, they're definitely, I mean, I'd say top 3 franchise in the majors.
Oh, definitely,
you know, besides,
yeah.
You know, maybe the Yankees off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Obviously, maybe they've fallen off a little bit, but just historically speaking,
yeah.
I mean, you've got to give praise to the St. Louis Cardinals, man.
Yeah, it's unreal what they do. Yeah. Last thing I wanted to touch on, because I did hit on the Blue Jays earlier. If you guys put yourselves in the fan's perspective, let's say you're a fan of the Blue Jays. Are you okay being 7 games back of the wild card, selling off your future to make a run now?
I don't know if they're selling the future too much, honestly, because they've got a lot of these guys signed for, like, I think Bautista signed for a while, Donaldson signed for a while. I'm sure, I don't know what Tulowitzki's situation is exactly, but I can't see him really leaving because they've got such a good situation there. I mean, you know, if they're able to re-sign David Price or even get another frontline starter next year, I don't see why they couldn't be good for the next 3 or 4 years. I mean, that lineup is almost like 27 Yankees style right now, you know, and just with the rest of that division kind of falling off, I feel like it could be the Blue Jays to win for the next 3 or 4 years. This could be like a resurgence like they had in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did make some moves. I mean, they lost Syndergaard, who's now killing it for the Mets. You know, so that was a move a lot of people questioned. But sometimes you have to get rid of these, you know, farm system guys and got really good prospects to win now if you seize the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it's worked out. I mean, would they reel off like 12 out of 13 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
So, I mean, they had 2 streaks of 10-plus wins in a row in this season, which that's
phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad. Derek, how about you?
I mean, I definitely, as a fan, I think I would appreciate it. I like the fact that they have the they're trying to win right now because they haven't won in a while, so right. I'm sure as a fan you want to see them win, and you might think that you can see maybe the future might be a little tarnished, but like you said, they have Donaldson there. Their offense is still going to be really stacked right now, and Donaldson is he is just hitting the ball right now like crazy. And
Encarnacion's playing better.
They all
have a slow start.
I mean, like Justin Smoke over them is hitting the ball well. So there's something about that team right now that just hitting produces more hitting. It definitely seems like for them. So as a fan, I kind of am a fan of them. I appreciate what they're doing over there in Canada and trying to take a, you know,
in the T-dot.
Yeah, trying to give a chance for the Canadian fans to, you know, get another series over there.
And let's not overlook the pitching either. I mean, Mark Burley has had a really solid year. Marcos Estrada is you know, a good number 3, and obviously now with David Price. The thing about David is now everybody else kind of gets to move down one slot as far as those, like, head-to-head pitching matchups. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's honestly, really like, a little bit more suitable for each one of those guys, I think. Yeah, like, each one of them was kind of a little bit one slot too high for them.
For sure.
So, yeah, having that's David Price come in there kind of really does put everyone where they should be. So, hey, Blue Jays, your future's looking up right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I'm on the same page with you guys. I think if you have the opportunity to win, you go for it. You know, you never know. But often the opportunity or that window of opportunity is very small. I mean, just look at the Niners. I thought, here we have a dynasty. We have the next New England Patriots for the next 10 years. We have our quarterback. We have our coach. And then 3 years, 4 years later, it's all gone.
Yeah, it's amazing what's happened over there.
I like when teams go all in. I mean, I get it. It's usually the GM trying to save his job. But hey, I mean, it's a dog-eat-dog world, right? So
either win or you're out. You know, that's pretty much how it comes down to. So hey, you got to go for it. Fortune favors the bold.
Yeah, and what better example? I mean, obviously not selling the farm system off, but as far as like the Nationals go, a couple years ago, remember when they shut down Strasburg?
Right.
When they were in first place. Yeah. They haven't won a playoff series since then.
Right.
They haven't won one at all. They've lost in the first round both times, and they didn't even get in last year, right, or 2 years ago. They missed one. Like, in this stretch run of, like, 4 years, which have been pretty good.
Yeah.
And everybody, like you pointed out earlier, has been anointing them.
Every year they've given them that crown.
So you never know, like, what that did that year for team morale, first of all, and then just for, like, the kind of the karma of the team, if you will.
Right.
You know, they just kind of, like, and I said something to Jake about this earlier, but there's this clip that they keep playing on MLB Network for one of their promos where Jason Worth's up there saying, "We're the team to beat in the National League."
Yeah, I know
everybody
what you're talking
knows
about.
It.
Yes.
We knows yeah. it. And it's like, it's just hilarious because they won't stop playing it and they just keep sinking farther and farther back
right.
in the standing. It's like, maybe you guys just aren't as good as everybody thought, you know?
And yeah, and it's kind of surprising just how they did, because you thought they did have a really good pitching staff, but each one of those pitchers has really just fallen off a little bit. Scherzer's really dropped a lot over the past.
Gio Gonzalez.
I mean, he had a great game against the Dodgers. I was actually there for that one. He had a nice game, but I mean, one out of every five isn't going to cut it for you.
Yeah, well, so speaking of winning or going home, apparently if you're James Harrison's kids, if you go home and you don't win and you have a trophy, well, that trophy's going back. If you haven't heard the story, and I know that Say Hey is on a football ban, so we're not talking.
We're not on a football ban. We're just on an NFL coverage ban.
Okay.
So this kind of transcends, because now we're talking about youth sports and participation. And I think, what was Harrison's viewpoint, that we're getting soft?
So
just handing out ribbons and trophies to every kid who comes out?
Participation points or trophies, basically, right?
Yeah.
Now, every kid that plays on any sports team at the end of the year, they get some type of award. And so James Harrison took his kids' trophies and said, "You didn't earn these," and gave them back to the youth league, to the coach or whomever, and came out and basically was adamantly opposed to getting a participation ribbon. And I was just wondering what your guys' thoughts were on that, because I think it's hilarious, and it kind of brings a bigger point than...
It does, and I liked his point of view, per se, because I understand the whole participation thing. I think it's a joke in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Having grown up in a youth system that did give participation trophies out, I was one of the people that viewed those trophies as just like, why? I don't even want this. I don't need this, because I only want... If I didn't have a first place trophy, it didn't matter to
me.
What
doesn't
really
matter, right?
Yeah, so I had that competitive spirit inside me to know the difference between a participation trophy and the trophy that, you know, was actually pretty cool, that actually had the first place on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would throw away my participation trophies. Everyone got one. I never kept them around. Like, I don't even know. They're gone, long gone. Never kept in my house. I didn't care if I participated. I only care if I really won.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it kind of does speak to a bigger thing that's going on. Like, you know, and every kid that participates, they know what they did. They know how hard they played,
right,
how much effort they gave in practice and during the games. So, you know, I remember at field day in elementary school, them handing out like 6th and 7th place ribbons for hurdles and stuff. And, you know, I was
right.
better.
There's only five people running.
Right, yeah, exactly. Right. It's like spectators were getting ribbons and the parents were getting ribbons for bringing orange slices. I mean, where does it stop? You know, and what bothers me... really is that I am hearing about these leagues now where they're not even keeping score.
Yes, I heard about those too.
And it's like, what are we trying to protect? Like, if a kid loses a game, it's not going to crush his soul.
Exactly.
To where it's like he's just going to be ruined and he's not going to be a well-adjusted adult.
Not going to be sitting at 35 at a bar drinking because of that loss in fourth grade.
Right. Well, let's hope not anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But I mean, you know, I know there's some people like who kind of get to high school and peak and then, you know, that's their thing.
Sure.
Like the glory days. But I mean, as far as like these little league things and, you know, all 20 teams getting trophies and all 20 kids or whatever it is, you know, I think it's good. It's good to like keep score. You know, because where's the competitive nature of it?
Yeah.
Are we trying to, like, take the competitive nature out of sports? Because if we are, then what the heck is the point?
And I think you're really just building up a bunch of kids right now who just have this entitlement about them that all they have to do is just be there. They don't really have to do anything, really, right. to get awarded for being, for playing.
Right.
You know, and it's, I know those air quotes that went unseen for everyone else. But,
we're not a visual medium.
Yeah. No, we're not. But it really does. I think kids are now getting to that point in time where they think all they have to do is just be there. And that doesn't just stop at sports. It might transcend into schoolwork at some point. Like, hey, I was in class. Why did I fail?
Right. You know? I showed up to the job.
Should I get credit for being here? That's right. The other thing. It's like, no, you have to perform. You know,
yeah.
And it's like, what kind of motivation are these kids going to have
if just for showing up?
Yeah,
if there's
no winner and loser. I mean, as a kid, I hated losing. I didn't care if it was tennis, lacrosse, baseball, basketball, anything I played. I hated losing.
Agreed.
You know, I would get over it. You know what I mean? But, like, I didn't like to lose. And I had, like you just said, you know, we had that competitive fire. I'm sure.
And you'd get upset and you'd work harder, you'd train.
Yeah. And you'd sit out at night and put the floodlights on and shoot baskets.
Exactly.
Until your mom made you come in.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
The reason I brought this up is, one, I found the article really fascinating. And two, I coached youth sports. I coached 7th and 8th grade boys for a couple years. And one of the years, we only lost one game, won the championship, and the parents approached me about the awards ceremony night, and I just did the air quotes too, which everyone can see. But they wanted me to hand out awards to each kid for being there, like these participation trophies we're talking about. So the ceremony comes up, we're at Round Table Pizza, I bring out the championship trophy, I go, here's your individual awards, you guys earned this. Mm-hmm. That's it. You know, that's what we play for, right? If you play to win, and I just think it just leaves I don't know if it's a bad taste in my mouth. I just don't feel that you're teaching kids anything by giving them points or trophies for showing up.
I think I've had some experiences on youth leagues where, like, the coaches will get creative and give out not just, like, here's your participation, but, like, be like, okay, most improved player this year. Or, like, best teammate, you know what I mean? And then maybe even, like, be, like, team comedian, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
So that maybe we could actually fit, like, something for all 9 kids.
And that's cool.
Right, and that's cool because then everybody comes up at the pizza party and is able to get something. Maybe it's a gift certificate. Maybe not everybody gets a trophy, but maybe a gift certificate or something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm down with that, but let's get creative about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, like, even – and everybody knows it's, like, whoever the jokester is. So then he gets to go up and everybody laughs, you know, that kind of thing. But, like, you know, this whole thing of, like – okay, one thing I want to point out about this is the one thing I think we should have is I think these youth coaches, you know, as far as the participation goes, because winning and losing is important. But the competitive nature of it, it's not so much if you win or lose, it's how you play, right?
Right.
So what I would like to see, though, is, like, when you do have these situations, let's try and have the coaches try and at least get all the kids in for a little bit. It breaks my heart when you get, like, have these situations where kids are at the end of the bench and they never get in the game.
Right.
Because the coach is so freaking competitive.
Right.
He wants his little league team to go 12-0 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, let the kid play a couple of innings. If he makes an error, no big deal.
You're not going
to the majors, Dad. You know, you're not going to become the manager of the Florida Marlins because, you took Round Table Pizza, you know, to, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
no,
like,
I'm
let,
I'm
let
with
everybody
you.
Play.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Let them at least get a couple innings or at least a quarter in basketball. Like, let's get a deep rotation to the end of the bench. Let these kids play because, honestly, the worst thing in the world is, you know, is not getting to play. You know, even if you're not that good, it's like at least get them in for a bit because really at the end of the day, the score isn't the matter. It's the fact, are these kids having fun?
Exactly. Agreed. Boys, thank you. Good show. I appreciate it coming in on the dog days of summer. Yep. Driving up from L.A., making it back from a festival, we made it happen.
We did.
One more time, wanted to remind everyone, Say Hey is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by the ARC stores in Chico, Oroville, and Paradise. Putting your green philosophy towards a worthy cause, the ARC stores offer gently used clothing, furniture, antiques, collectibles, and more. All proceeds support local people and families with developmental disabilities. Open 7 days a week at 2020 Park Ave in Chico, 2745 Oro Dam Boulevard in Oroville, and in Paradise at 6640 Clark Road. For more info, visit arcstore.org. Thanks again, boys. Jake should be back next week, and say hey, we'll be back then.
Yes, we will.
Have a good one.
This is Peace Talks Radio, the series on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. On our program, we spotlight peacemakers throughout history and today and try to glean some strategies that we can all apply to reducing conflict in our daily lives. I'm series producer Paul Ingalls, along with Carol Boss. Aaron Wolf, a geoscience professor at Oregon State University, also has